We've been looking at God will perform His plans for your life because you're His child. And He proved that in Daniel, and we have looked at part number one, and we saw that we're to pray for angelic provision and protection. And we said that behind the kings of Greece and behind the kings of Persia that were over God's people, there were demons trying to influence them. But when God's people prayed, one of the men tell me, what did God send in order to influence the political leaders over them, to help them and do good for them? What did He send, Joe?
Angels.
He sent godly angels that would fight against the demons. And by the way, that has not changed. Ephesians chapter 6 says that there are demon forces that are organized to influence people against the work of God. And in answer to prayer, God sends His forces. By the way, very interesting, I was reading in a paper about the presidential candidates, and I just wanted to see where they stood on some things. And we need to pray for God's angels to influence whoever is president. But before we get a president, we need to pray for that president to get the right president. It says here that Barack Obama pledged his support for abortion on demand before a Planned Parenthood Action Fund event on July 17, 2007. Obama pledged, listen to this, to vote for the Freedom of Choice Act, a bill which would undo all pro-life laws gained on both the state and federal level. Barack Obama stated, "The first thing I do as president is sign the Freedom of Choice Act." And that Freedom of Choice Act means that you can choose to murder an unborn child. And he said that's the first thing he'd do. He said, concerning abortion, Obama said, there will always be people who do not share my view on choice. He said, to choose to have an abortion. On this fundamental issue, he says, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield. Obama stated, I fought in Illinois. I fought in Illinois Senate against restrictive choice legislation, that is pro-life legislation. On the Supreme Court nominees, Obama said, I stand by my votes against the confirmation of Judge Roberts and Samuel Alito, President Bush's nominees, dedicated to interpret the Constitution, not legislating from the bench. By the way, in California, judges that have legislated from the bench overturned the will of the people, and they said that you have the right to homosexual marriages. And Obama's saying, I want those kind of judges. The judges that will decide what they believe is best, which is basically liberal. And then he praised Justice Ginsburg, who opposed the ban on partial birth abortion. That's a baby can be partway out of a woman and halfway out, and you can still kill the baby as it's out on the outside and stab it through the head. The Congress wanted to vote to ban that, to stop that. Obama said, keep it going, man. Don't ban it. Let's see. So he praised her, and I don't know if anybody here is voting for Obama. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to say that a vote for Obama then is a vote for this, and you are sharing in this. You say, but maybe he'll give me some more money for health care. You shouldn't need health care. You should. Something ought to happen to you. Here's what this paper says. John McCain, a Republican senator from Arizona with a solid, consistent pro-life record on abortion, clinched the nomination on April 7th. The National Right to Life Committee announced support for him after a unanimous vote of the group's board members. McCain supported bills to ban partial birth abortion. He said, stop it. He voted to stop it. McCain is opposed to using your tax dollars to fund abortion and has called repeatedly for the overturn of Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion on demand. Senator McCain has voted for a bill to require an abortionist to notify at least one parent before performing an abortion and a minor girl from another state. And so, two very important issues. It's important to pray, listen to me, it's important to pray for our political leaders, But it's important to know what's going on as well so you can pray intelligently. And I'm saying God will perform His plans for His people and pray for angelic provision and protection for our country, because our country's in big trouble right now. Also, we said that we need to purify yourself from pleasing people and instead just live to please God. And we said that people are unpredictable, and we talked about persecution, how it can break out, and people can turn against you. And what's a man in history that led the Israelite people, that was over them, that had power over them, and he was over their religion, and he instituted pagan worship right in their temple and got the Israelite people to persecute other Israelite people that wouldn't go along with him? Who was that wicked man? What was his name? He was a political leader that God allowed to come into power. And what was his name? One of the men, tell me. He was from Greece. He was a Syrian leader. What was his name? Raise your hand if you know. Eric?
Was it Antiochus Epiphanes?
Very good, Eric. Antiochus Epiphanes. And he had power over them, and we found out that many of the people's acquaintances, many of their family members turned on them. Let me tell you, you need to trust God and not put your trust in man, because when things go bad, people will fail you, but God will never fail you. The Lord will never fail you. And the Bible says, when my father and my mother fail me, the Lord will take me up. The Bible says, whom have I in heaven but thee, and on earth there's none I desire beside thee. So we said you need to purify yourself from pleasing people instead of God. You need to pray for God's angelic provision and protection. And tonight I want you to look at, you need to progress in your understanding of prophecy. And tonight you need to understand about the Antichrist. And that's what we want to look at. Turn to Daniel 11 verse 36. And I want to look at understanding the Antichrist. Understanding the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11, and we want to look at that. Now, there's only one verse in the Bible that talks about the Antichrist by name. There's only one verse that names the Antichrist, and that is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. And here's what it says: who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Then there's another verse that talks about the Antichrist. John the Apostle mentions the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to be a person that he's going to come. Now, the Bible says that the Antichrist is somebody that is against Christ, and he denies Christ. In other words, he is a religious person. John said that the Antichrist type person, or the spirit of Antichrist, is a person that claims to believe in Jesus Christ, but then he turns against Jesus Christ, and he has a false idea of who Jesus Christ is. You see, the devil is a deceiver, and the devil says that Jesus Christ was, for instance, a created being, and he is not God come in the flesh. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses teach. The Mormons teach that Jesus Christ was the brother of Satan, and they don't have a true view of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is Almighty God, and He came in the flesh. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God is like, get a good look at me. And you need to understand that if you're a true Christian, that you will have an understanding from the Holy Spirit, so that you will not deny that Jesus is God who came in the flesh. And that though He's God, He has a human nature, but He's perfect. And people that deny that turn away from that, they're against Christ. And the Bible says that's the Antichrist spirit. Now, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist is going to be against Christ. He's going to lie about Christ, and he's going to be against Christ. But also, the Antichrist is going to come in place of Christ. All right? He's going to fight against Christ, but he's going to come in the place of Christ. The word anti means not only against, but more importantly, it means to take the place of. Now, if somebody tries to take the place of somebody else, they are really against Jesus Christ. If somebody says, you confess your sin to me and I'll forgive you, aren't they taking the place of Jesus Christ? I believe they are. Is that being against Christ? Even though they may say they're for Christ, they're really against Christ because they're a religious person now trying to give your attention to them. If somebody says, pray to a lady, and if you pray to the lady, she'll help you pray to God. Well, the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. If a person says you pray to that lady and that'll help you pray to God, that person is having an anti-Christ spirit. Why? They're putting somebody in the place of Christ in your life. By the way, you can do that with a person. You can like a person more than Christ so that you don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. I remember I was dating a girl one time and I believe God didn't want me to date that girl, even though she was a Christian. And I was telling the girls that today. I had devotions with the Hiles Anderson girls. And I was telling, I was dating this girl in college. And as I was dating her, it was cutting my desire to witness. It was cutting my desire to pray. It was cutting, you say, why was that? I believe the Holy Spirit was troubling me. He was taking away my peace. And he was saying, I want you to date a girl, but it's not this girl, not this time. And he took away my joy. And I believe I was putting that girl in the place of Jesus Christ in my life. So there was an antichrist thing going on there. And God removed that girlfriend from me. And I'm glad she went on. I think she married a guy, became a missionary. I was glad to hear about that. But God brought the woman in my life that he wanted me with. Her name is Kathy Leeser. And I had peace. I knew. And when I was with her, it didn't slow me down. I wanted to serve the Lord more. I wanted to read my Bible more. I wanted to serve the Lord more. Didn't pull me away. And so I'm saying to you tonight that anything that replaces Jesus Christ in your heart, that replaces Jesus Christ in your life, listen, that's an antichrist influence and effect in your life, and you ought to be aware of that. Listen to me, Jesus Christ died on that cross, he was buried, he rose again, and there's nobody that can take his place. Somebody came to the hospital of a dying lady, and he said to her, he said, confess your sin to me, I'll give you the last rites. He said, I'll help you to leave this world. She said, sir, can I see your hands? And he said, my hands? Yes. And he held out his hands. And she said, I don't see any holes in your hands. I don't need the last rites from you. I have the one who is the first and the last. He's my Savior tonight. And I want you to know that he's to be the first love of our life and the one that we need more than anything else. And as we get closer to Jesus Christ, it's just like people you see that are counterfeit experts in Washington, D.C. My history professor told me this one time. He said, when they want to find counterfeit money, what they do is they study real... don't have it. Butterflies are flying out of here. They study real dollar bills, and they look at them all day. And then when they see a counterfeit, they can recognize it. And the best way for us to recognize an antichrist influence is to spend time with Jesus Christ, to walk with Jesus Christ, to have continuous fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that will help you to recognize the antichrist. But the Bible says that the antichrist will be opposed to Jesus being God come in the flesh. He'll be against that. He'll be a religious figure that'll be against that. He'll teach against that. And he himself will come as Christ. He will pose as Christ. He will take the place of Christ so people will look to him. By the way, that's why I don't believe in voting for men like this when they say they'll give me health care, when they say they'll give me money, when they say they'll give me this or that. Hey, they won't give you that. They can't give you that. That comes from my God right there. And if they break his commandments, don't worship a man. Don't worship a politician. And put that man in place of God. Because you know what? You're preparing for the Antichrist. And God doesn't want us to worship a man. And so The Bible says that this man is a religious figure, and he's in place of Christ. And by the way, he is going to come as a prophet. He's going to come as a prophet. And by the way, the Bible speaks about false prophets and false teachers. Now, right now, we have false teachers. But when the 70th week begins, as it was in the beginning of the church age, so it will be at the end of the church age, at the beginning of the 70th week, that false prophets will arise. What's the difference between a false prophet and a false teacher? One of the men tell me. You should know this. What's the difference? The difference between a false prophet and a false teacher is, get this, that the false prophet claims to have direct revelation from God and is accompanied by credentials of a prophet. What are the credentials of a prophet, Brother Bob?
Sign gifts, miracles.
Sign gifts, miracles, wonders. By the way, it scares me, the modern charismatic movement that started in Los Angeles, California. Anything that starts in Los Angeles scares me anyway. But at Azusa Street in Los Angeles at the beginning of the 20th century, which was a century of apostasy and declension, by the way, that they claimed modern-day sign gifts had begun again. When the Bible very clearly says, look up here, guys, when the Bible very clearly says that the sign gifts were signs of true prophets, and the only true prophets were those associated with the apostles of Jesus Christ. And the apostles and those people that were with the apostles had passed off the scene. But the Bible says, listen, that as we go into the 70th week, there's going to be a lot of what? Deception. Jesus warned us, don't be deceived. You know what's going to deceive us? There are going to be some miracle workers that are going to do some real miracles. I'm not talking about fake miracles. I've seen people do fake miracles, or these are real miracles. But according to this, if they're false prophets, where do they get the supernatural power to do those miracles? Somebody help me out. Who gives them the power to do the miracles? Yes.
God?
No, not God.
Yeah.
Yes.
The devil,
Satan. Satan does. And so Satan has power. Thank God, God's got all power, and that's why I'm on God's side. I don't want to be on the loser's side, but he's got power, and he's going to deceive people. And so this individual, listen to me, this individual called the Antichrist, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about him that he comes with the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And so he is going to be a religious leader. By the way, that's different than the man in Daniel 9 and in Daniel chapter 7. He's called the beast, the Roman prince, or the beast out of the sea. Revelation 13, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. He is a political leader. He is not a religious leader. He's a secular leader. He's like a Caesar. And though he will be an object of worship, he himself is not a religious leader. And the Bible says a lot of people call this man the Antichrist. He's the beast, the Roman beast. He's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is different, and I believe we're going to see him now in Daniel chapter 11. Please turn there and look at verse 36. I want to look at some glimpses of him and what it says about him. You see, he's not only a prophet, he is a king. And look what it says in verse 36. It says, "And the king shall do according to his will, and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god." So he is going to be a prophet, and he'll do miracles. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that. Revelation 13 says that in verses 10 and following, that this individual is a false prophet. Now let me ask you a question. Was Jesus Christ a prophet? Yes, Jesus Christ was a prophet. Listen, he could do miracles, and he gave special revelation from God, and that's what a prophet does. Jesus was a prophet. And Jesus, was he a king? Yes, he's the king. He's from the family of David, and God has ordained that David's seed, 2 Samuel chapter 7, David's seed would reign over this earth once God has cleansed this earth and judged this earth. The kingdom of David would be set upon this earth. Jesus Christ, as the descendant of David, will rule over this earth as a king. Listen to me. Jesus is a prophet, and Jesus is a king. All right? Now, what was he called when they hung that sign on the cross? King of the what? King of the Jews. You heard of King of the Jungle? Jesus is the King of the Jews. That's very important because the Jews are the chosen people that God has chosen. And when they get saved, listen to me, when they accept their King, their Messiah, for being who He is, then the kingdom of God will come to this earth. But they rejected Him the first time He came. So He was a prophet. He was a king. He's also a priest. As a priest, you must be over-sacrificing. And Jesus offered Himself as the Lamb of God to pay for our sins. By the way, He offered Himself for the sins of the world. That's great. He paid for the sins of the world. But is the world saved? No, because you have to accept it. Dr. Cowling said today, three things. Man's a sinner. He's going to hell. Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. But unless you accept it by faith, you don't have it. It's not yours. And he said his wife led him to the Lord. When he puckered up to give her a kiss, and she said, let's pray. And she gave him the gospel. But that's a priest. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He is a king. Now listen to me. The anti... And also, let me say this. Jesus is a what? Humanly speaking, Jesus is a what? I know that's a wide open question. I know you can say a lot of things, but he's Jewish. He's a Jewish Messiah. He said in John 4, salvation is of the Jews. Now listen to me. The Antichrist is not the Roman beast. He's not the European leader that we've been studying. He's not the political, military main leader that we've been studying. He is a religious leader. He is going to be an economic leader. And he is going to be somebody that will rule in the East, like Antiochus Epiphanes did, rather than in the West. He's going to be over the eastern part of the revived Roman Empire, the Middle Eastern part, if you will. In 1995, by the way, the European Mediterranean Agreement came into being to tie the European Union in with the Middle East countries, and it was called the EU Romed. All right, the Euromed spells EU Romed. In other words, that began to be the merging of the revived Roman Empire with the Middle Eastern countries. And I believe this Antichrist will be over Israel. He'll be the head of Israel, but he'll be exalted by the Roman beast to have a role of ruling over the eastern part of his empire. And he will have co-equal power. By the way, Jesus said, I and the Father are what? One. Now listen to me, the Roman beast is like the Father. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Antichrist, the Jewish Antichrist, is like the Son, and the unholy spirit that is behind all this is Satan. Satan. And by the way, Satan has been working to raise up people like Jim Jones and to raise up people that are false Christs, you know, all along the line, cult leaders like David Koresh and others, and these crazy, whacked out Mormon cult leaders, raising these people up, that people follow these people, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have a spiritual understanding. But when you have the Holy Spirit, listen to me, God has given you the ability to discern so that you will not take the mark of the Antichrist. You will not be deceived by him. But it is important, listen, that you can recognize who he is and that you have the right Bible teaching to recognize who he is. And so I want you to see that he's a prophet, he's a priest, and he's a king. But I also want you to see that the Bible says in Zechariah 6:11, you don't have to turn there, that the high priest sits as a king on his throne. And the high priest reigns in Jerusalem. And I believe that is the place where the Antichrist is going to set up his throne. And we'll see that right here in Daniel chapter 11 in just a minute. All right, now I want to get into some other things about him. And I want you to look at that that not only does he claim to be God, he claims that he is God. And we see that, by the way, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Let's look at that. It says, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every what? God and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Now this is the Jewish Antichrist. He is going to rule in Jerusalem and he is going to proclaim himself as God. You say, but wait a minute, I thought the false prophet, who is also the false Christ, I thought he would proclaim the Roman beast as God. He does, but he proclaims himself as God as well. You say, what? How do you get that? How about Jesus? Did Jesus proclaim that his Father was God? Did Jesus say in John chapter 10 that I and my Father are one? Did he not proclaim that he was God? Did not the Jews take up stones to stone him for that claim? All right, in John chapter 14, he said to his disciples that he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I am equal with God. That's what the Jewish Antichrist is going to do. He is going to claim to the Jewish people that I myself am divine. I am the Christ. I am your Messiah. I am the one that's responsible for your temple. And for you being privileged and blessed. And I am the Messiah that fulfills all the promises of the Bible, that when Messiah comes, there would be miracles, there would be peace, there would be plenty. He will claim all of those things, that he is the Messiah, that he can do all of those things. Now, that's exactly what Daniel 11:36 says about this Antichrist. I want you to notice another thing about him. Look at verse 37. It says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, what's that talking about? The God of his fathers, that's talking about Jewish people. The Bible says that the Jewish people had a God. Notice in your King James, it's large G, the God of his fathers. This is not talking about a pagan people. He is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the fathers. They are the patriarchs. Who did they worship? Who did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worship? Well, the true God of the Bible, right? Listen, he will not regard that God. He will not worship that God. And another thing he won't regard, the Bible says, he will not regard the desire of women. Now, some people says that means he won't like women. I don't believe that's what it's talking about. The Bible speaks of somebody that is the desire of nations. What is the desire of women? You have to think Jewish. Like my old professor used to say, the Jewish nation had a desire to have the Messiah, and Jewish women wanted, listen, they wanted to be the mother of the Messiah, because God said to Eve that from her would come, from the seed of the woman, would come the Messiah. And they wanted to have the Messiah. And so what he's saying is that this Antichrist not only will not regard the God of the Bible, but he will not regard the Christ of the Bible. He'll be against him. He'll be there to replace him. But notice, follow me, keep going. Look at verse 37. It says he's going to magnify himself as God. Then verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Now watch this. I want you to follow verse 38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God, small g, whom his fathers knew not. Abraham didn't know this God. Isaac didn't know this God. Shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Look at verse 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds, with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Now, who is this false God? I want you to think about that. And I want you to notice, and I'll give you the scripture, in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 15 through 17, it says that this Antichrist, listen, is an idol shepherd. He's an idol shepherd. Zechariah, all right, I want you to write this down or make sure you get this reference. Zechariah, all right, chapter, I'll look it up here, chapter 11, verse 15 through 17. He's an idle shepherd. Now, it doesn't mean he's lazy, like idle, lazy. God doesn't want us to be idle, but that's not what he is. He's a hard worker. He's not idle. When it says he's an idle shepherd, what does that mean? Brother Bob.
It means he will not defend. protect.
Well, let me do it right. Let me spell the word idol in Zechariah. That'll help you. I-D, not L-E, but I-D-O-L. Very important. I-D-O-L. He's an idol shepherd. Every word being important. Every letter in the Bible. Every jot and tittle. Idol shepherd. Now what does it mean? Brother Bob?
Idol is a false deity, a false security.
Exactly. So who is this strange God that he's going to exalt, he's going to give money to, a God of forces? The political, military leader, the head of the European Union, the head of the revived Roman Empire, he is going to be the God that he will worship, a God that's really a man, and he will be a God that he will worship. And listen to this, he is going to exalt him, and he's going to make a statue of him and put it in the Holy of Holies in the temple, and that will be the idol. And he will require everybody in the empire, everybody that he rules over, to worship and give credence to that God. And not only worship himself as God, but worship the head of the European Union as God. And if you don't do it, listen to me, you don't get fed. Remember how the Jewish people went to Jesus and they wanted him to feed them and wanted him to take care of them and they wanted to make him a king, but he ran away from them. He didn't allow them to do it because he knew that they were just carnal and they wanted their own carnal things satisfied. That's the way a lot of Americans are today. Oh, we'll take anybody that makes us some promises that they're going to take care of this and take care of that and they're going to enrich us. Let me tell you what. This Jewish leader is going to lead the Israelite people to worship this man, and they will get peace and prosperity if they do it, and many people will go along with it. And he is the Antichrist, and he's going to do miracles, and they're going to believe, wow, he really is a powerful religious figure. He really is our Christ. He really is our Messiah. And now he's in the temple, and sacrifices are being offered in the temple. And oh, it's going to be a great time for the Jewish people. And I want you to notice that when it speaks about that, that look what it says, though, if you follow down with me. Look what it says in verse 39. It says, thus he shall do. And then it says in the last part of that verse, and shall divide the land for gain. Divide the land for gain. By the way, that's what has been going on in Israel since the 1990s, about 1993, when I mentioned this last week, Yitzhak Rabin made an agreement with Yasser Arafat that he would divide the promised land up and give part of it to the Palestinians to try to get peace. And what this individual is going to do in order to get peace, in order to get prosperity, in order to be part of the European Union and have all the benefits of the European Union, in order to have his position, what is he going to do? Listen to me. He is going to divide Jerusalem. He is going to divide certain areas of the promised land and make an agreement and a covenant to do that in order to have peace and prosperity. This will be the false Christ. He is coming. He is a religious leader. And the Bible says we're to be looking for this individual. And I want to tell you next week a little bit more about him as we finish this lesson on the Antichrist, because I want you to see what happens with the Antichrist and how this all boils down. But there is coming a Jewish leader who is going to fit the bill of this individual that we're talking about, and he is going to get exalted and he's going to lead people away from the Lord. Let me just say one more thing about him. The Lord says in John chapter 5 that he will come in his own name and the Jewish people will accept him. He said, I've come in my Father's name and you didn't accept me. He said, but this man, he's going to come in his own name and you're going to accept him. Can I ask you a question tonight? Who is it that your faith is in? Have you put your faith in the one person that can reconcile you to God the Father and give you a relationship to God the Father? If you haven't, you don't have a relationship with God. You have an idol in your life. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with God. Listen to me. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have a desire for the Word of God. You have an understanding of the Word of God. And you want to serve God with your life. But if you haven't, you need to come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior. If you are a child of God, listen to me very carefully. We are perched upon the precipice of perilous times and great deception. And unless, listen to me, unless you know the Lord and unless you walk with the Lord, you will not have the discernment that you need to avoid getting sucked away from God's safe place for your life, for your family, for your loved ones. Walk close to Him. That's the most important thing I can tell you, because the Lord Jesus Christ knows the way through this wilderness. All you've got to do is follow, and you've got to follow Him one day at a time. That's all He has. He gives you grace for one day at a time. Are you where you're supposed to be tonight? Is there anything between you and the Savior tonight? Are you playing with anything that is sinful? Let me just say this in closing. The Jewish people, because they were not saved at this time in their future history, they will accept this man and they will make an agreement with him, and he will make an agreement with the Roman beast, and they will have peace and they will have prosperity. But the Bible says all hell is about to break loose when that happens, because that's the beginning of the 70th week, and war is going to come and trouble is going to come. I fear in the United States, I just heard a guy say the other day, he said he was a secular progressive, that's what they call an out and out liberal. He said, don't worry about it. He says, homosexuals getting married in California, he said, it'll be accepted in a few years, just like black and white marriages are accepted, just like this and that. He was trying to compare it to those kind of things. And he said, it'll be accepted and get over it. Everything will be fine. We'll be wonderful. We're just making progress in our society. I couldn't help but think how many people are going to be deceived, and then the judgments of God are going to fall. Same thing is true of us as Christians. Listen, I've had it as a Christian where I have made peace with sin in my life, or peace with my sinful nature, or peace with the world. There is no peace. You may have a false peace for a time. You may think everything is fine and God is fine with it, but you don't have the holy God of the Bible that you're really following. You're following your flesh and you're making it out to be God. I don't want to preside over a bunch of flesh. I want to lift up Jesus Christ, and I want to have people follow Jesus. I'm not here to gather a crowd. I'm here to help people to follow Christ. I'll just close with this. I like to close and close and close. Dr. Ware said this, our first pastor. He said this. He said, we're not rallying around a cause. We're growing up into a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Are you getting to know Him better? Are you growing in Him? That's what it's all about. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. I ask you some pointed questions tonight. Nobody talking, nobody moving right now. I want to ask you this question tonight, and that is simply this. I didn't say, did you know you're a sinner? Did you know there's a hell and you should go there? I didn't say that. I didn't say, do you know Jesus died for our sins? He did that. He suffered and died and bled and He rose from the dead. You know that. You should know that if you've been here. Here's what I'm asking you. Have you put your faith in that Christ to save you? Have you put your faith in that Christ to save you? And do you know that you've done that, that you're born again? Would you raise your hand if you know that tonight? Raise it up high. Let me see it tonight. Nobody looking around. All right, you may put it down. Is there anybody here tonight say, Pastor, I'm not sure about that. I'd like to know that I have received Christ as my personal Savior. Would you raise your hand? Hold it up. All right, I see those hands. All right, thank you. You may put them down. Now listen to me tonight. Jesus died for the world, but He died for you as an individual to offer you personal salvation. You can't be saved with a group. You have to be saved by yourself as an individual. And you're not saved by going to church. You're not saved by talking to the preacher. You're saved by calling on the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away and believing that He died and rose again to save you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, right where you are, if I were you, I would call on Jesus and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I do believe, and I accept you as my personal Savior. You need to do that for yourself. Young person, would you do that? Because it doesn't matter if your bus captain is saved, you could go to hell and your bus captain would go to heaven. Doesn't matter if your Sunday school teacher is saved, you could go to hell, he'd go to heaven. But if you call on Jesus, Jesus won't let you go to hell. Jesus will save you because he promised it. Would you call upon him right now? And if you just called upon the Lord to be your Savior, would you raise your hand? Let me see your hand. Hold it up high. Let me see it. I just called upon him. Amen. Amen. All right, you may put it down. Now, I got one more matter, and I'm talking to Christians right now. Christians, idle shepherds. There are those that push things in your life that you would love them more than the Lord, and you would hold on to them more than the Lord. And sometimes, frankly, you can't repent unless God gives you repentance. And sometimes he has to chasten you because you've not listened and you've gotten enslaved, like in the book of Judges. And they got enslaved until God freed them, and they had to pray until God raised up a Savior. Now, you've got a Savior, but he's the one that gives you that confession that cleanses you out of that sin. I wonder if there's somebody say, Pastor, I've been hooked up, pray for me, that I'd have no idols in my life, that Jesus be my first love. It's a need in my life. I have it. Nobody looking around. Christians, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me tonight. It's a need in my life. I've been hooked up. All right. All right. All right. I appreciate your honesty. Would you put your hands down tonight? Listen to me tonight. This is what kept the judges from revival. And we need to pray, God, whatever it takes, cause us to get back to our first love. And do the first works. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we thank you tonight for the true Christ. And Lord, we know anything that tries to replace him as an antichrist influence in our life. And God, we know the devil pushes those influences and pushes those idols in our life. And I ask you tonight, Heavenly Father, that you would do whatever it takes in the lives of your people that we might have no other gods before you, that Jesus might be our first love, and that we might do the first work of abiding in him and then obeying him and giving out what he gives us. Lord, may we just be channels, and may you flow through us. And Lord, I pray for those that tonight pray to receive Christ as Savior, Father, that you might strengthen their faith and cause it to bring forth fruit. We pray. Pray that they get baptized and make it public, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.